So I said, yeah, we do have a service tonight. I said, as a matter of fact, we have a special guest, Dr. Sandy Burkett. And come to find out, the two of them went to church together for years. And so she just happened to be in Elkhart having her RV worked on. And so she's in town when Dr. Sandy's in town. So that's a God thing, right? It's interesting how we have several stories of how things like that have happened at the river. God divinely connects people. Amen. So it's exciting to have Dr. Sandy here. And I want to welcome River of Life family, friends, and guests for coming out today. And it looks like we're missing quite a few folks today, but I'm sure they have a good reason, and it better be other than the Super Bowl. It's tonight, right? So, amen. Well, we're going to get ready for the word. I know you're excited. So we're going to ask you to stand today. And I'd like to introduce to you my college friend. Dr. Sandy and I went through our PhD programs together, and we value our relationship, friendship, and pulled on one another as we went through that transition. Come on up. She wants to get a picture. And before you go up on the stage, she's one of my short friends. And so I'm so glad she's here. We don't get very much time together because we're both busy doing the work of the Lord. And so it's been a real treat to have her this weekend. And I want to thank publicly the Pikunkas for keeping her at their home and taking good care of her. And so we appreciate all of our family and how everybody pitches in to accomplish what God wants to do. And God wants to do something mighty this morning in our hearts. And he's going to use this woman of God to do that. So let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Sandy. And let me help you.
Now I can do it. Thanks. Good morning. What a blessing to be with you this morning. Thank you, doctor, friend, colleague, prayer partner, and thank you, Leonard, who cooked chicken last night. Amen, amen. We've known each other. We actually not only went through the program, we roomed together when we had to be on campus. So we know where every coffee shop is, every chocolate shop is. Janet, Apostle Janet said to me, text me and said, I forgot to tell you we're on a fast and we're not eating chocolate. But we are drinking coffee. Yes, that's what she said. And so that was really funny. Well, I am privileged to be here. And how many were here Friday night? Good. How many were here yesterday? So how is your opinions going? The ones that were here yesterday, praise you. How many of you thank you for your opinions since yesterday in the last 24 hours? Yay, thank you for being honest. That's praise God. Well, I was seeking the Lord this morning and praying for the church and asking God, you know, what is it that you have for this group of people, for the city, for the church? And what the Lord revealed to me is a word that he gave me for 2016. And the word of the Lord was that many have been in battle and have won the war, but many have been in battle and have not seen the results. But 2016 was the year that they were going to finally see the results of their battle. And that many have gone through and been positioned for this season, and others are in the midst of being positioned. But it's a battle that is coming forth that is not a typical battle, that our weapons that we're accustomed to using are weapons that no longer are going to produce what we need. That he is calling us to use weapons that were used in centuries before that have not been used in this century. And they're ancient weapons of warfare. And as the ancient weapons come, then there will be new training on how to use those weapons. But they will be weapons of purity, weapons of strength, and weapons of power. And so when I look, and I know you're going to be doing the feet, the battle feet, the stomping, the shouting, what God has been having me do, and that's not my message today because I'm not through with my research, but I've been researching ancient spiritual weapons of warfare. And I am amazed that there are weapons that I never saw in the scriptures before that we can actually activate. So I think as they come forward, what you need to understand is God may ask you in warring to use something, to do something that you have never seen used or done before. But realize you're not being silly. It's Him. And He's calling you forth. And the Word also said that goes with many of what's going on here at the church, is that a spirit of weariness have come upon those who have the heart of a warrior. And as I've been here a couple of days, what I really see is a firmity has come upon your leaders. And the Lord is weakening the leaders through infirmity, like Pastor Elder Toby. And many of your leaders are being hit. And when your leaders are being hit, then the followers are scattered. And so the Lord is saying this morning that we need to intercede right now, that the spirit of infirmity does not hit the leaders of this church. That it will not come in and weaken the leaders. So what I would like before I share the word is I like all the leaders who are in the sanctuary to stand up. And then I know there are leaders back with the children, and so they're included. And I want the rest of you to put your hands out toward the leader that is close to you. Okay. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, Your word said that no weapon that will form against the pure individual of the Lord through the saints will not walk in the infirmity. And I cancel the demonic assignment that has been sent to this church to cause infirmity to come upon the leaders, to cause the mouth of the prophets to be closed. And Father, I cancel the demonic power of oppression. I command the demonic power of disease and infection. I command the demonic power of financial devastation to be broken right now in Jesus Christ's name. And I claim that the blood of Jesus Christ heal every individual of the unusual, silent handicap, of the visual handicaps, that healing will take place. Prosperity will return in Jesus' name. And we decree as a congregation, we will pray for our leaders every day so they can lead. How many are committed now to pray every day so they can lead? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the victory in the house. We thank You for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, when I'm looking and seeing, God has taught me, if unusual things begin to happen, more than one person, then we really are under a demonic attack. And so we have to look and observe and not miss the clues. Because we can get so caught up trying to take care of everything, but not see what is causing the problem. Amen? You know, I guess I'm on warfare here. I got to share. You know, I did a marriage workshop yesterday, and one of the things that you need to understand in your marriage is when your marriage is really struggling and you're after each other, a demon has been sent to divide you. And you need to take time and command the demonic to leave your marriage. Now, it's not something that has come in you, it's come against you. And so you need to tell it to leave your marriage, because if the enemy can divide a marriage, he divides the power. Because where two or more come together in agreement, what they ask for, you will receive, correct? So what better two to come into an agreement is those in covenant. And so he tries to break the covenant. And so you spend a lot of time in trying to get everything arranged between you and getting all these good things that I taught yesterday. But I guarantee you that if you spend some time together as a team, commanding the enemy to let go of your covenant because he's trying to strangle it, you will see a big transformation come in your relationship. My husband and I always, when we see that there's an aggravation between us that is out of character, that tries to divide us, we take time and we war together. And we command everything to be sent, go back to the sender for their redemption. Because I guarantee you, word curses, those can be people who are praying for you, can curse you by not praying biblically. So those words have to be canceled by the blood of Jesus. Then you have such a witchcraft atmosphere in Elkhart, in the surrounding areas. Witchcraft and sorcery is very strong here. And the Muslims are infiltrating. They pray three times a day against you. So you need on a regular basis to do war with the enemy instead of each other. Put your energy in warring and you will see good things happen. Amen? And then Apostle Janet shared that the community of Elkhart had been a very prosperous community of wealth. But now you're in the bottom third and being a worse city to live in. Am I correct? And so what the Lord was showing me is when people are in wealth, they let down their guard. And because the city was prosperous, the spiritual guard was down. Then the infiltration came. And where evil infiltrates, poverty reigns. Because where there's poverty, the spirit of control comes, and the spirit of control comes says, I will meet your needs instead of God. Government is never to meet our needs. God is to meet our needs according to the riches and glory. The church is to meet the needs of the poor, not the government. But the way to stop that is stopping prosperity so the churches don't have the money to do what they need to do. And so entitlement comes in, and when a spirit of entitlement comes into a city, not only crime elevates, poverty elevates. And poverty and crime go hand in hand. So I'm really very excited that there's going to be a boot camp. There's going to be warring against the enemy of poverty. And just realize, when you pray against poverty, you're praying against crime. It costs more money to take care of crime that takes out of the success of a city. So the city needs righteousness. The four gates need righteousness. The four gates of the city. And I'm going to even share that when I was driving in by the river, I really felt Leviathan is living in your river. And Leviathan is a stronghold of death and suicide and pride. Now I'll get in my message. One of the things that God has been putting on my heart is that we need to be reminded of the power of the blood. that we really go after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't really seek the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we can seek the personhood of the Holy Spirit is because the blood of Jesus has been shed. And so the power of the blood is bigger than salvation. Let me say that again. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than salvation. So when people who say they are Christian, who are disobedient, they are mocking the cross. They are making fun of Jesus on the cross. That's what disobedience does. Disobedience says, ha ha, what you did for me is not important. So I'm going to mock what you did for me. And then the next prayer is, please God, fill my needs. Disobedience and getting your needs filled, they don't come together. Somebody needs to hear that. I've had people come up and ask me to pray for them after service because their finances were a mess. So I prayed that God would bring in the income the next week they're up praying because they're forced in overtime. Because they wanted God to give it to them instead of having the opportunity to work for it. Amen? So we want a fresh wind. We've been saying that. You know, we're in a season where evil is going to get more evil. But we're also in a season where God's glory is going to get more magnified. The darker it is, the more bright the glory. But the United States is coming out of the gray area. The United States is no longer going to have any gray area. You're either walking in evil or you're going to walk with the power of the blood, but you're not going to be able to straddle the fence. Because if you straddle the fence with compromise, you are on the dark side. You know, like Star Wars. What force is with you? The dark side or the good side? And I love it because when the force of God is with me, you know, I can conquer anything that's dark. Amen? So we want a fresh wind, but what we do is we need to understand what gives us that fresh wind is the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Andrew Murray stated in the early 19th century, where the blood is honored in faith or preaching, there the Spirit works. And where he works, he always leads souls to the blood. Let me say that again. Where the church honors the blood, the Holy Spirit works. Where the Holy Spirit works, the Holy Spirit draws you to the blood. So today, Satan is trying to rob the church from understanding the power of the blood because he hates that we are redeemed by blood. Now, what makes us so special is God did not create us like the angels. And remember, Satan is a fallen angel. Angels and demons have no blood. He created us with blood so that we could be blood bought. We're in a covenant with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit through blood. Satan hates that because Jesus shed his blood for us. He requires others to shed blood for him. He requires blood sacrifice because he has no blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ in warfare, he is afraid of because he knows he doesn't have it. And so we need to understand that that is extremely important. And if we let go and we don't see the significance of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is our greatest weapon of warfare, we only fight a battle with half of our weapons. In Revelation 9, it says, 12, it says, it is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony that allows me to succeed. But many of you are rejoicing for the word of your testimony, which is great. But you're not warring with the blood. You're only warring with half of your weapons. Because there is so much power and life-giving in the blood. There's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. So I liked, God gave me a revelation, and that is, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I had a blood transfusion. Because it is in the blood that's the DNA. And because I had a blood transfusion, I'm his heir. And if I carry his blood in me, then I carry the power in me. And so we pray, you know, your kingdom come, God, and change the atmosphere. Well, I have news for you. You are the kingdom. You're the atmosphere changers. You're the troops that's to do it. It's not going to come supernaturally. It's going to come through a fight and a war. Because you've won territory, you've lost territory, now you got to go back and claim territory that already was won. Because you've got to maintain territory through the power of the blood. So another great evangelist, Carl Rose, said, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. The Holy Spirit comes where the blood has cleansed. The Holy Spirit does not come where there's disobedience. Let me say that again. Because one of the ancient weapons of warfare is obedience. We use all these other weapons, but my walk of obedience through the power of the blood that gives me the ability to be obedient. Are you with me? Then I am, as a person, a weapon against darkness. And I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to say, I'm an actually living weapon. Wherever I step, I am a weapon. Because the blood of Jesus is in me, because I'm a child of the King. Are you with me? So wherever I walk, I take the blood. To the market, to the job, to the school, to the people that live around me, whether I open my mouth or not, the blood goes with me. I want you to grasp that. So the power goes with you. So the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing does not come, I can't say that, does not come upon a sinful nature. Only comes on obedience. Only comes to those who are obedient. And we have to choose not to compromise. Boy, is it easy to compromise. It really is easy to compromise. And the sad thing is, our children in the school are taught to compromise. So in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone that is hung on a tree. Well, many of us see the power of the blood of the cross, right? But we don't understand that there was a lot of bloodshed before the cross. The cross was the tipping point, but it wasn't everything. So I'm going to have you look, I'm going to share with you how Jesus shed his blood for you. In Luke 22:24, we find out that when Jesus sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood. Out of the pores of his body, he sweat blood. Great drops of blood fell down to the ground. Every pore of his being started to bleed. That meant every nerve in his body became magnified. Everything that was going to be painful, every nerve in his body was so intense because he bled sweat, that what was to come was going to be more intense than would have been normal. So remember, whatever you sweat for, the blood has already been shed for your sweat. Already been shed for those things you're worried about. The old cliche, you're sweating over something, aren't you? Okay? Jesus already covered that. And then in Isaiah 56, it says, I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. You see, my husband has a big mustache, but he also used to have a beard. Do you understand the pain of having a beard plucked out? I mean, they didn't shave it first. And so when they plucked out his beard all the way around, everything on his face was full of blood. So I believe symbolically you have to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is with you for everything you face. It's there before you have to face it. It's already covered by the blood before you have to face it. He knows in advance, and his blood is shed, and all you're doing is you're walking through the blood to the other side with obedience. Are you getting this word with obedience? Uh-huh. And then it says in Matthew 27, it says, and when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They mocked him and bowed before him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. Then they spat on his him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Now, the thorns of the crown of Jesus was from a thorn bush that the thorns were about 2 inches long. So not only was it shedding blood when it was put on his head, but when they pounded it into his skull. See, if you get hurt up in this area, you shed a lot of blood. So now he's dripping blood all down his face. So everything that you think can be covered by the blood. Your mind can be covered by the blood. Every sinful thought can be returned to good by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every bit of anxiety is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every thought is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to proclaim it. You have to proclaim it, that your mind is sealed by the blood, that your mind has to follow the obedience of Christ because of the blood. You see, the renewing of the mind is a heart change. It's not a cognitive change. So you have to be changed from the root, but the blood from the head down. Isn't this your brain? Okay, so when the brain is covered by the blood, it's change head down. And so Jesus shed blood with the crown. And then we know, we quote this a lot in Matthew, by his stripes we are healed. By the beating of his back, we are healed, right? And we know that he had enough stripes that one more would have killed him. And every nerve in his body is intensified. So if his back is scourged for you, Why are you looking backwards in life? Why do you look at what should have been, could have been, might have been? What you had? What took place? When the back is scourged, you don't turn around. Because my back is covered by the blood. And when my back is covered by the blood, whatever anyone says who doesn't agree with me in their opinion that is not of God, the back is covered that I cannot be backstabbed. That when the darts come to my back, it's repelled by the blood. So those of you that want an anointing, I want to give you good news. God is going to increase anointing to everyone in this church. You're going to go to a higher level. The bad news is the higher your level, the more people don't like you. And they don't know why they don't like you. When why they don't like you is they don't like the spirit you walk in. So my back is covered by the blood. I don't have to. Now, when I'm not seeing, your past is so covered by the blood, you don't have to go back and be healed. I'm not saying that. I'm saying my back is covered, that I don't have to look at the enemy back as I'm running forward. You know, if you're a marathon runner, the worst thing you can do is look backwards to see who's coming against you, right? And then in Psalms 22, 16, it says, "For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands." Now, when we look that Jesus' hands were pierced and blood was shed on his hands, I want you to look at your hands. And I want you to say, "The blood of Jesus is over my hands. So anything I put my hands to is covered by the blood." Come on. People are healed because of the blood. Prosperity comes because your hands are put to work under the power of the blood. So watch where your hands go. Because are you mocking the blood where you put your hands? Or are you honoring the blood by using your hands in ways that Christ wants you to use them? Then we see in another scripture in Psalms 22, "They pierced my feet." Some of this was prophesied. You realize that. So the blood of Jesus Christ covers my feet. Think about that. The blood of Jesus Christ covers my feet, so my feet are a weapon of warfare. My feet are a weapon of warfare. Look at your feet and say, "You're covered by the blood." Come on, you're covered by the blood. So wherever I walk, wherever I stomp the enemy's head, he's getting stomped on by the living blood. The blood of Jesus is not dead. Muhammad never shed blood. He has ISIS do that for him. The blood of Jesus is on my feet. The blood of Jesus is on my feet. The blood of Jesus is on my walk. The blood of Jesus is all over me. Remember his song, "I feel him all over me"? We need to look at it. The blood is all over me. Then we see in John 19, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." So where life is, that's where the spear went, right under in this area near, so that the life would bleed out. But that area, death has been conquered. Death has been conquered by the blood. We don't need to be afraid of death. You know, I think so many Christians are not afraid of death, but it's how you're going to die can be fearful. But under the blood, my life is covered with the blood, because the blood of Jesus is in me through salvation, and the blood of Jesus is all over me. Say, the blood of Jesus is all over me. Now, Satan does everything in his power to convince you that you have no power. He works really hard to tell you you have no power. I know you have no power if you answer a question, well, that's just the way it is. It's always going to be like that. Then you've just told me you don't understand the power of the blood. You don't understand the power, because it doesn't always have to be just like that. Your confession mocks the cross. And we can't walk in power that we mock. So we need to go back into pleading the blood of Jesus like the old days. There was a season when I came into the filling of the Holy Spirit, the blood. It was all spoken. Everything was about the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus before I do this. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my day. I plead the blood of Jesus over my desk. I plead the blood of Jesus over my checkbook. I plead the blood of Jesus over the impossibilities. So pleading the blood is a weapon that needs to be returned to the church. We need to start using that wording again, because it means that I am pleading it. And what it says is this: when I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every event in my life, I have drawn a bloodline. And I say to the enemy, you can't cross the blood. You can only go that far, but you can't cross the blood. Isn't that what God did with Job? Satan, yes, you can do these things, but you cannot kill him, because the blood is that line. I'm only going to let you go so far, but you cannot cross the blood. And so you say, you can't cross this line. This is my boundary. And the blood of Jesus Christ is putting that boundary there. And you won't cross over. And you're not going to rob me of my victory. You're not going to take away what I've already won. Because some of you've won, and you give it back. Now, moms, how many mothers do we have? This is something that the Lord has shown me, because there are some things in my life with my son that is not right. And I was talking to the Lord about it, and this is the insight he gave me. You birthed your child in blood. You have a blood covenant with your child that the father does not have with that child. You have a blood covenant with me, which means you have access to his blood, your child's blood. Thus, when I war for him and I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a covenant that nobody else can have with him, because they did not birth him in blood. I do think that's why women are so sensitive when their children are hurting compared to men, because of the blood covenant. So we plead, the blood of Jesus is in me. There's a covenant of blood between us. Satan, you think you're going to win. It looks like it now, but you're not going to succeed. There's a difference between winning and succeeding. But I have the power of the covenant of blood. Amen? Now, the blood of Jesus Christ for believers is in us at salvation. The first sexual act of a woman is shedding of blood. That's why we need to encourage young people to wait until marriage, because their first act enters into a blood covenant, and is the strongest covenant there is. And so when we have established that with our spouse, now I can war with my spouse because I have a blood covenant with my spouse. Are you flowing with me? See, God in His design made everything covenant. And so there's that power. There's that authority. There's that victory. Amen? So what we want to do is really realize that if the scripture says it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, they are my two-edged sword. My testimony is on one side of my sword, and the blood of Jesus is on the other side. And I want to share something about the sword. We know we keep it sharp by being in the word, right? But many people see the sword as a Zaro sword. You know, one of these huge swords? Yeah. Elder Jim showed me some swords. Actually, it isn't. It's more like a dagger. Because you're to carry it. It's your concealed weapon. And you don't need a government license. You just need a concealed kingdom license. So when I pull it out and it's covered with the blood, I look at the enemy and I thrust, I twist, and I pull out. I thrust, twist, and pull out. Say that. I thrust, twist, and pull out. If it's a long sword, you're constantly in battle. And you get weary dancing the battle dance. So the sword covered by the blood is you just look, stand still, stand firm. And I thrust into your lies, and I twist that the lies has no authority, and I pull out the truth. That's the blood. There's power in the blood. Say that with me. There's power in the blood. So the blood cleanses, the blood empowers, correct? And the blood affects darkness. So I want to do an activation. First, if you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you do not have the power of the blood. Salvation gives it to you. So is there anyone here today that has never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to be empowered? Is there anyone here? I got to make sure. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to plead the blood over our face. We're going to plead the blood over our head. We're going to plead the blood over our hands. We're going to plead the blood over our feet. And we're going to plead the blood over our life, our lifeline, our health. Are you with me? I would love to be raptured and not be buried on earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or just take me up, you know? Just take me up. Scotty, beam me up, you know? Wouldn't it be funny if there's an angel named Scotty? So if you want to do this, then I really want you just not to say it. I want you to physically do it, okay? So just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, I speak the blood of Jesus over my head, over my face, over my back, over my hands, and over my feet, and my life, my own blood. And I walk in victory. I walk on water. I'm not a survivor. I am not a person that's a victim. I'm an overcomer by the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. 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 So I just share with you as you go home, I hope you get a nugget. You know, I always say when I minister, if one person, whatever you get, if it's only one nugget, it was a successful message, okay? But go home and begin to really pray on a daily basis. Even before you get out of bed, I plead the blood over my day because today's my destiny. Amen? Well, thank you for having me this weekend. You are a very, very special church. And you help everybody feel welcome that comes in. Thank you.